You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
So whether it's democracy or a coup, it's all over the same thing. Who gets the right to control the government business monopoly? All right. If you have any comments, send them in. None of these countries is going anywhere until they come up with a better model rather than digging things up from the ground and selling them abroad. And you can call yourself a socialist or a progressive all you want, or a free market advocate all you want. But until you are able to expand your economy and diversify and have domestic demand, you're going nowhere. Hour number 4, Hottest Show in the Diaspora, Cedric Muhammad, Black Coffee Program.
Cedric Muhammad.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got 4 or 5 kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time. That's hard time.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
Keep your eye on the clock and be on point for the future. Shop hard time.
Cedric Muhammad.
Hard time.
Cedric Muhammad.
Hard times are coming to your town. So stay alert. Don't let them get you down. They tell you times are tough. They hear that times are hard. But when you work for the ace, you know you pull the right card. Hard times got my pocket all in chains. I tell you what, old boy, it don't have my brain. All day I have to work at my peak.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
Beating hard times, that is my theme. Hard times in life, hard times in death. I'm gonna keep on fighting till my very last breath. Hard times.
Cedric Muhammad.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got 4 or 5 kids and can't pay the wages, can't buy the food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time.
Oh, yeah, we back.
Cedric Muhammad.
Hold on. Got to readjust, recalibrate. We would just call that the last hour, or the lost hour, rather. The lost hour of the Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee program. I know some of you think that I went and took the hour to watch General Hospital. Not true. I have no other way to say it. Maybe the show is just too popular. Still investigating the cause of the lost hour. But it looks, hold on, let me read your comments. Some of you are very concerned. We smoked out. James from Philly said, what upset? I hope that the federales didn't come to get our brother for dropping that economic and entrepreneurial hotness. I know all is well, and you will get it as soon. No one can stop what God has ordained. One love. Thank you, James, from Philly. Yeah, I just say the show's too popular. We overloaded something, exceeded something. But we'll figure it out for next week. Now, I'm going to let you all take over. Excellent post from Mark M. from Washington, D.C. He said, brothers and sisters must understand that a colonial economy was often the purest form of a free market economy, but not in the sense that we think of a market economy today. In colonial times, not only was it externally imposed, but the type of free market created was one based on super exploitation of resources, land, labor, and minerals, and backed by the monopoly use of violence. A type of exploitation based on investing the least amount it can, no need for schools, healthcare, etc., in the society to maximize profit. In the Congo, once known as the Congo Free State by Belgium, the free market was so pure it did not even permit enough resources to reproduce life, workers, itself, and hence 10 million died. This history is why your analysis of the economic model after independence is valuable, because in some ways the same economic structures, export-led growth, exist today, just in new forms. The violence of the colonial lash has been replaced by the violence of market forces, where they have the freedom to be impoverished, famine, etc., often as the result of structural adjustment programs, aka the tough measures imposed by the IMF. In today's current crisis, tough measures are now the result of shock and awe of what has happened to export markets, which former colonial countries still depend on. Like you said, nothing really changed after independence. Excellent post, Mark M. I might have to drop that again. Got some smooth R&B on for you. Those of you, blood pressure levels rose because I was not present. It was a lost hour. Did Cedric go and watch General Hospital from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, which was seems to be a convenient time that we lost broadcast? was the colonial economy not a priority to Cedric when General Hospital came on at 3 o'clock? This is the rumor that has been started. Well, look. Oh yes, this is no. This does not mean that I will be going overtime. No, we will be ending at the normal time. I just wanted to come back and properly finish strong. Let's get into this album review, Mos Def. I think this is the clean version. Mos Def doesn't cuss too much anyway, so you know, forgive me if you hear something. This is a song called Revelations, Mos Def, new album, The Ecstatic. Let me know what you think.
Sunshine. Ecstatic.
The beats on this album are something else.
Black gold.
I'm back, go tell a friend.
Standing in the sun, getting black as I want. You playing good, then that ain't backing me up. Skywalker, baby, ain't no jagging my hem. I got a whole lot to say, so I ain't talking to them. I hear him eavesdropping and turn it up louder. Black freedom, black genius, black power. Black ink and printing the black dollar. Tell the CIA, I say, now what? and CC your central bank. Loose change, body slamming, big money tanks. We tell God thanks. Y'all telling us that God don't rank. That's why your breath stink.
Yuck.
Lay off the bacon and the smokes. Quit laying off the good working folks. Quit the hoax. Lay off the corny color jokes. Corn chili the pop. Yelly the color just awoke.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
I'm in the crosshairs. Better still keep an even dose of each, cause until you get justice, you won't get peace. Peace. Rumors and rumors and rumors of war. Killers just killing, don't know what they kill for. And more. Rumors and rumors and rumors of war. Then I get dead and don't know what they dead for. And more. Rumors and rumors and rumors of war. War. Revelation.
This is the track called History. You heard me pump this before. Most Def album review. This is Quali on this.
Everybody act according to this.
You have any more comments on Dante Stallworth, what I said earlier? Send those in.
Summer winter, summer June.
Wackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Let's move. Say a little bit about my, yo. I was born in a season where the world was quiet and cold. Celebrations were going on. Some were happy, some were sad. Some felt bad from being good. Some felt good from being bad. The feelings passed and changed, but they never leave. They here to stay. Holiday, holiday, happy birthday. Teenage love, the first cup, run deep. So long, flesh, this is the Brooklyn Streets. Year of the Ox, 7 MMD. The history.
Come on.
Every soul got one thing. It's where you been and where you be. And without understanding, you cannot proceed complete. It starts in the end. Then it just go round again. Again. Again.
Still on this album, let me know what was your review. Most Def, The Ecstatic. Let's go.
Again and again. Clueless. I was born in a decadent, decadence, where they worship what they have. Ford was president, do the math. War was ended when the North Vietnamese stormed the city of Saigon. We was like, bye, we was gone, and bygones to bygones. I'm gone, spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. Where they hug you with the firearms, shot on. Like new school clothes, black star fishing. Smash when we do shows, facts, no history. I'm down with the cool like Mussolini in Italy. I rock with the roots like the Givenchy. Powerful bigotry at work, me and my people got history.
Rock in your Culver City, California, I'm back. Thank you, brother.
Flow is historic. They can't get rid of us, you pick with us. And we laid the law like Leviticus. 10 years ago, we made history, so they missed us.
LA's off from Brooklyn, it's me, I'm back. Anthony Muhammad from Ellenwood, GA. Brother Cedric, don't tell me they finally took you out. They. Kevin from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania said, I took the hour off to watch Judge Mathis. Let's go to a track called Quiet Dog. Most Def, The Ecstatic.
One thing I want to assure them, if they think I'm going to change or compromise in my attitude, in my way of life, or in my expression, or in my goal towards politics, they're making me stronger. And I'm much, much stronger now.
We got the hot post from Mark M. We'll read it again about the colonial economy.
Spend time hating it, but that ain't changing it. God give it to me, nobody is taking it. Therefore, moving on the basis, stimulus. Standing in the twilight, I'm watching them get it in. The walls trembling, the air shimmering. She moving like more than the ears. Listening, won't now. Test for your equilibrium. Sonic wave booming all over your enemies. Skin on skin, and skin on skin again. Put it on, get it off, get on, get it in. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your mistress. Cause the other answer and synonym. Here it is, Boogeyman. Huh.
Indian blackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the...
This is the embassy.
We're flying at most an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat 22 with hand-fluted cylinders.
All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet. And I can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane. So just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
La 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 la. Indian wackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
La 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 la. Mentioned that he worked for the embassy. People seem to find that interesting. High status, intrigue, and mystery. Special code name on a hotel registry. I love it when they say, enjoy your stay. They say it how they mean it, cause it's how they've been trained. Show you to your room, a suite with a view. And if anything at all, do not hesitate to call. Nice, the greatest, compliments, toothbrush, toothpaste, razors.
Oh, if you all want to get at him, Mark from D.C., his top five greatest basketball players are Jordan, Bird, Oscar Robertson, Kareem, and Wilt. Again, Mark from D.C.'s five greatest players of all time: Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Oscar Robertson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Wilt Chamberlain.
When it's really real, it's even realer than the Matrix. Classic, modern, ancient, flagrant. Get a special thrill every time we get to say it. Peace. I work with the embassy on behalf of Imagination Industry. I come visit, you come visit. Such a pleasure.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
La ilaha illallah.
All that said and done is on beat one. Yes, you carry legendary Cedric styles. Very and it's very necessary, get it clearly. Never scary, barely weary, bright and early. Ball head straight and curly, mundane, the otherworldly. No chain, I'm the jury. The jackets can't.
This is Wahid, Wahid, most death.
Now put your mind on that, get real and get back. Quit front and face facts. The old timers say we living in the final day. Gun smoke, young folks living any kind of way. Gangsta holiday, great estates and hideaways. Meanwhile, soldiers take it straight through the armor plates. Crash at the market gates, marvels of the modern age. Access is instant and treachery is commonplace. I sense the dangers and I'm not afraid. Because when all is said and done, there's only one. Man up, playboy, playing the game, boy. Pull back, spectacular aim, boy. Say what you say, boy. Whoever can make noise. Wide range, all from the same voice. Conduct the arrangement with definite language. It's pure inspiration. But this kid...
This right here, Life in a Marvelous Time. I want to talk to you about Omar Bongo.
Right moments.
Give you some audio from the French. I want to hear you. I want you all to hear a former colonial master talk about the country they used to control. French media talking about Gabon and the death of President Bongo.
82, ninth floor, three tiny rooms, one view. Bucktown, Roosevelt House, the green grass is green, our green grass is brown. Shots rang, my phone wasn't touched, throwing heavy beef in the street. EP had to flee. Great heavens, good grief. Hungry bellies, bright gold on their teeth. The windows on the Ave look like sad eyes. The fixed sharp gaze on you when you pass by. And if you're there to stand, you can see him cry. You can watch him scowl, feel him prowl. Wild and steady sizing every inch about you. Fast math measuring what you amount to.
We'll get back to Mos Def in a minute. This is the discussion on Gabon. Listen to how they talk about the relationship between France, the former colonial master, the colonial economy in Gabon.
Oh, For 5 days, several thousand Gabonese flocked to the presidential palace to pay their last respects to their head of state. Omar Bongo ruled over the country for 41 years, so long in fact that many here now feel like they've been left orphaned. On public TV, the programs of national mourning run day and night.
Well, once again, it's this feeling of a gathering, of a communion which prevails, something which unites the many communities of Gabon.
Here in the streets of the capital city, Libreville, there's a sadness, respect, and sympathy, but also a lot of mixed feelings, hope for the future, but fear of unrest.
We're sad. For 40 years, we lived in peace.
It would be unfair to say that everything he did was bad. There were far fewer bad things than good things.
We Gabonese hope that our new president will be able to be four times better than the last because we are suffering in Gabon.
For many in Gabon, President Omar Bongo personified stability. His death marks the beginning of a period of uncertainty, and for the first time in 40 years, the question of his successor arises.
This is really the hot topic these days. Everybody's talking about it.
And what is going to happen, in your opinion?
Now, this is a report going close to the people in Gabon talking about their leader, deceased Omar Bongo, led the country for 41 years. Rod Guignon, Culver City, California, has come in with his five greatest players: Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Three Lakers on there, folks. Back to Gabon.
Well, that's not the easiest question.
Because of the period of national mourning, nobody wants to openly address this issue. The only one to break the taboo is the foreign press, who talk of Ali Bongo, the president's son, as a possible candidate. Is it too early to talk about succession?
Not only is it too early, it's indecent.
Since Omar Bongo passed away, his political entourage has been trying its best to prove that the democratic transition process is running its course. They dismissed the French press when it talks of explosive political tension.
Yes, we have the nerve to tell you that our people are mature and that we will follow the institutional process until the very end.
See, they're sick. They're irritated by the French presence. When I was in Africa, I was struck. The Francophone grip on certain countries in Africa is fierce. The grip of the French on their former colonies is enormous. So there you heard that brother from Gabon. He's irritated. He said we can run our own affairs. That's my translation.
According to the Constitution, elections should take place within 45 days. Up until now, the rules of temporary presidency have been followed to the letter, but some are skeptical, like this man, who served time for filing a civil suit in a presumed embezzlement case involving President Bongo.
Using the words constitutional legality doesn't mean Gabon is going to drastically change in 45 days.
Will the issue of Omar Bongo's succession be settled within the 45 days of the transition period? This will depend on Gabon's ability to create an electoral database, an important step towards free and transparent elections.
Now, here's a discussion with some French analysts and an African commentator, a brother, talking about Gabon and the relationship a little bit between France and Gabon. You'll be able to pick up a lot. You don't have to know the history as yet, but I do encourage you to study the history of France with their African colonial states, okay? A discussion on France TV about the future of Gabon, the legacy of Omar Bongo, who died 41 years in power. Keep this in mind in reference to what Mark shared and what I got into about the colonial economy and the least developed country model for development imposed by the West and accepted by an elite in Africa.
And welcome to today's face-off. Today and over the coming days, the West African country of Gabon is paying its last respects to deceased President Omar Bongo. After 41 years of rule, we examine the Bongo legacy. He's credited for maintaining peace and stability throughout his reign. No civil wars, no coup d'etat under Bongo, contrary to some of his Central African neighbors. He's also criticized for his handling of the economy. Gabon makes money by exporting its vast quantities of oil, yet the riches haven't all trickled down to the population and the infrastructure is still very weak. So has Omar Bongo been good for Gabon or not? Well, let's ask today's guest. To my left, I have Prince Afori Atta, your editor-in-chief website, African news website, afric.com.
Yes.
And to my right, George Kazolias, thank you for being here. Professor of Journalism at the American University in Paris. You've been working on Africa since 1984, and you actually just recently got back from Chad. Sure. But that's another story. Let's stick to Gabon for the moment. So, quick reaction from the two of you to start with. Has Omar Bongo good or bad for Gabon overall?
Well, when you called me to come in, I asked myself, what can I say good about Bongo? Because when his death was announced, everybody was saying all these great things about him. And so I thought about it long and hard, and I think I found two things I can say good. You mentioned one, was that in 41 years of his rule, there was peace and stability, but what social price? And the second one is a little phrase that came from him, which is, there would be no corrupted without corruptors, which I think is a very important statement about the relations between France and Gabon.
I'm curious how that is a good thing, but we'll get back to that.
I didn't say it was a good... Well, it's a good thing because Gabon is not known for its transparency, and for once we had something transparent come out of there, and that's probably the most transparent statement that Bongo has made.
Oh, so you give credit to Omar Bongo for implicating the French in the level of corruption
that is thought to have existed
in the two countries.
Thought to exist. We know now that it does. I mean, it's been very hard work for a lot of people to try to get the documentation to prove what's going on, but several court cases, most notably Elf, have demonstrated how this system works. And yes, I think it is a great step forward when even unwittingly a head of state admits that he's corrupted and he's being corrupted by corruptors who happen to be very big in
Bongo. Which is very strange because a couple of years before his death, he actually said there is no corruption in Africa. So how do you explain this? How do we explain this?
Well, no, I would say that how does he explain his $9 billion in personal wealth and all the property he owns in France and elsewhere? And how does he explain the fact that with these maximum oil exports and revenues, his country has a foreign debt of 27% of its GDP?
Well, then maybe because, I read an article from the Financial Times a week ago. It was an editorial, which was saying, it's escaped me, but the gentleman was saying that, well, we'll have to come back to it.
What's your overall assessment of Omar Bongo? I mean, would you agree with George Kazolias?
Overall assessment of Omar Bongo, he was not a great promoter of democracy.
Mm.
Was he good or bad? I argue on the fact that he did not promote democracy. So it has been
good. So as far as you're concerned, that's his main legacy, and that's the one thing you'll remember.
Well, no, it's a lot worse than that. He was in power 41 years, an oil-rich state with 1,500,000 people. He built less than 1,000 miles of paved road and less than 900 miles of railway, and that railway is not used for passengers. It's used to go in and get wood to bring to the boats, to bring to France.
Right, the statistic, as I know it, is 9,000 kilometers of track of roads in Gabon, only 800 kilometers of which... That's less than 10% are actually paved roads.
Right, so I don't know what that makes it per year over 41 years of paved road, but come on.
I remember the judge, Eva Joly, who worked on the Elf case that shed some light on some of the illegal financial transactions between
illegal,
France and
no,
Gabon.
No, they weren't illegal because they were legitimized by the French state. They were contracts that were signed. It was just pure corruption, but unfortunately a lot of this corruption is legal. It's part of the France-Afrique system.
Yeah, but like Mofé Boigny, I believe Bongo run his country like his own business. Right, so most of the money coming into the country went into his own pocket, and it was legal because he run the country as his own company. And what I was just about to say about FT, the FT said he run his country as a chiefdom. So everything was okay. There was no corruption once he was at the head of a country. Once everything went into his pocket, there was no corruption.
Yeah, we do fix on Bongo as somebody who enriched himself and his family and those close to him and bought off the opposition every time they started to raise their heads and stuff. But the question is, okay, we got another sergeant of the colonial army who died, just like Mobutu, who got rich serving what we could call his colonial masters. But if there's crime involved here, then you've got your little criminal who might be Bongo, but the head of the mafia is sitting in Paris and Brussels. They're the ones who really, really raked it in. And I want to add one other thing, is that the French population are complicit to this, because and they must know it subconsciously, how else would you explain that every time the French army gets involved in something going on in Africa, they just don't care, that nobody raises their voices. So
I think it's a tradition, it's a culture, it started it's been there since time immemorial with
Family, this is heavy. They're telling on themselves all on French TV. This is called Priority, Most Def. I'm going to get back into the definition of a colonial economy, okay? See, whenever you want to point the finger at a quote-unquote evil, corrupt African dictator, remember what I said about the franchise holders. Face ain't afraid of major street race, set the table straight. Four greatest like the greatest lakes, gates on greatest states, quiet water, major waves. Steer the course, make a way, and come ashore on a greater day. Homegrown from the greatest grain, full flavor in the native strain. Now put that on your brainy brain, full exposure to faith and slang. Minimum wage and major gang, y'all seen Dante the Bay. Day to night and day to day, they came to play, we came to stay. Get out the way. I just buy heat rocks, Brooklyn finest preservation of B-blocks. Friend of folk poison a detox. When we rock the people I respond priority. Peace before anything, God before everything. Love before anything, real before everything. Home before any place, shoot before anything. Style and stay radiate, love, power, slay the hate, priority. Most Def, man, he is so inconsistent. Scattered on this album, but boy, when he gets it together, whoo. Oh, I just wish there was more focus. This album beats are hot. His flow is ridiculous. Then he starts doing the singing a little bit. So talented, this Mos Def. I don't know about his acting career, but he does look like he's getting money. Now, let me read again what I said about the colonial economy. Let me give you a little more of what we talked about. You know what? I'll save Mark's comment for the end. But again, Julius Nyerere, what he said is, we are neither poor nor are we kept poor. Because we are black, we remain poor because of the world trading and monetary systems, and these, whatever their other disadvantages, are colorblind. Kwame Nkrumah stated, Ghana inherited a colonial economy. We cannot rest until we have demolished this miserable structure and raised in its place an edifice of economic stability, thus creating for ourselves a veritable paradise of abundance and satisfaction. Now, he's saying after independence, Ghana inherited a colonial economy. What is a colonial economy? It is one where a country is independent in name, but whose financial and business activities are ideologically, structurally, or institutionally dictated by unwelcome external forces. By this definition, the independence movement has yet to fully deliver what Nkrumah envisioned, with aspects of the colonial economy continuing in virtually every part of Africa, labeled as developing or least developed. And this is my intro. The colonial economy, business monopolies, and the end of the gold standard. This is how I began my proposal to the African Union. I did not hold back. So I said to the AU, I said, let's get it. So by this definition, the independence movement has yet to fully deliver what Nkrumah envisioned, with aspects of the colonial economy continuing in virtually every part of Africa labeled as developing or least developed. Such labels obscure basic facts regarding the nature of what is loosely collectively called third world nation collectively, or a less developed country, LDC, or a least advanced country, LAC. While LDCs are considered sovereign equals in places like the United Nations, where one state, one vote guides affairs, such a naive view of equality does not apply to the economic reality for Africa. Now, I'm saying this because even on a multilateral or geopolitical tip, some of you all don't understand why Africa won't vote certain ways on the UN and the United Nations. I mean, these votes are controlled by France. If you're a Francophone African nation, you are checking in with France before you cast a vote. Let me give you a little bit more. The true definition of least or less developed has nothing to do with politics, ideology, or military power. A least developed country is a country that does not have the ability to produce all of the things it needs to survive, even at a relatively low level of subsistence. Of course, self-sufficiency does not always equate to autarky. A country can be considered self-sufficient if it can get what it needs in trade rather than relying on aid. LDCs. Now think of Gabon. Think of the colonial economy. Think of France. and the corruption that was just mentioned, where only the African leader enriching himself is depicted, not the pipeline that goes back to the former colonial master. LDCs do not have the carrying capacity for bare existence and real growth in modern times. Therefore, they must be aided. As a result, the biggest business in a less developed country and a primary reason for its governmental power structure is import and export. Now, Colonel Prouty and I talked about this in reference to Peru. Import and export are everything. LDCs aim to export enough to make payments on the interest on their national debt. Now remember, we were just told that Gabon's debt was 20-something billion, I believe. Where did that come from? Wasn't that debt possibly necessitated by the colonial economy and the things you have to do to get foreign currency and at the same time deliver what your citizens expect if you are an independent nation, so you have to commit to a budget that you can't afford and you don't have tax revenue to support, so you end up borrowing. LDCs aim to export enough to make payments on the interest on their national debt with enough left over to pay for what they must import. Remember what we read about Chavez earlier? And Venezuela, short on foreign exchange. How did all these countries get into this condition where they need dollars? Is it by accident? The government of such a country is a business monopoly over its people. Again, the government of such a country is a business monopoly over its people and its territory, motivated less by some political ideology than by pragmatic control of the import-export business. In most LDCs, customs activity and border patrol are the most important elements of government, enabling political leadership to maintain its monopoly and an accurate and essential account of everything exported and imported by the country. Now, this is where the quote-unquote corruption angle comes in. Listen closely. LDC governments make money granting exclusive and monopolistic franchises to friends, relatives, and financial and traditional leaders of national infrastructure for everything from chewing gum to fighter jets. These franchise holders, the ends, are usually assured of becoming millionaires. That's what happens when you are in power and you are in government and you have the right as a business monopoly to assign who gets what in a certain industry. You're going to become wealthy. Their franchisees are obtained through contacts with select sources in countries and powers abroad. This is where France gets involved. So you get the franchise by the right of the local government, but the product that you're importing, you have to be cutting deals with folks in foreign countries and in powers abroad. They cover all the essentials required by the populace. There is no other way to obtain foreign-produced goods, including foodstuffs, which must be imported. The same franchise system applies to exports. Just think, don't get lost in too much of what, you know, I talk about a lot, trade policy or monetary policy or fiscal policy. Just think import-export. What is being sold and produced and sent abroad? What is being bought and purchased and brought into the country? Who has the right to do that? That's the real power center of the country. That's the business monopoly. Later, for all of that, free market, conservative, libertarian, socialist, communist, progressive government, BS. Who controls what leaves and what comes into the country? That's the business monopoly. And when you put that in a colonial economy, you have a recipe for corruption, exploitation for multinational corporations, and further impoverishment of the people, and never the development of an entrepreneurial class that could supply the country's needs internally. Again, you need dollars to get what you want abroad. So the idea is, rather than develop a broad economy, let's just focus our economy on exporting commodities, things that we dig up from the earth. I'll do this one last time and then I'll read Mark's post. LDC governments make money granting exclusive and monopolistic franchises to friends, relatives, true financial, and traditional leaders of national infrastructure. For everything from chewing gum to fighter jets. These franchise holders, the ends, these are the people in power, are usually assured of becoming millionaires. Their franchisees are obtained through contacts with select sources and countries and powers abroad. So if you're in government, of course you're going to be the face of the country. You're going to have first dibs on the deals that can be made. You're going to be the front line of any communication with the external power. So naturally, the people in government are going to be the most prone to corruption, governance, governmental problems, transparency and governance concerns. They cover all the essentials required by the populace. There is no other way to obtain foreign-produced goods, including foodstuffs, which must be imported. The same franchise system applies to exports. The outs, those who are out of power, are those who have been stripped of their franchises, usually as a result of a coup d'etat in favor of the ruling group. The term political party and the words communism, socialism, free market, and democracy rarely apply easily. The outs are definitely on the outside looking in and represent an ever-present danger to the ends through the possibility of coup d'etat. In most LDCs, there are no meaningful campaigns and elections. The votes, if elections are held, are counted by the armed forces, an instrument of the end power. Such controls leave the outs little alternative but coup d'etat for power transition. And as I mentioned earlier, the military or armed forces are not just the instrument of the current ruling power, they are also the instrument of intelligence agencies who can develop, groom, and support leaders and bring them forth and present them to the masses as viable alternatives to whoever may be in power. Even this gentleman in Iran, look at his background, very interesting. I think he was head of the nuclear program. It's never an accident when a leader emerges, that's what I'm saying. Leaders are always raised up by some power. In all LDCs, the difference between the ins and the outs has little, if anything, to do with political ideology. The scenario depicted by the major powers divides the world into the socialists in the West camps, and more recently, or increasingly, Islamic fundamentalism in the West. Listen up, last paragraph. Often, power centers external to the least developed country keep the books and balances of the ins and the outs. That means there's some foreign power that's keeping the books, doing the accounting, handling the financial transactions, or at least having a better grip on what they really are. This could be the IMF, this could be the UN, this could be various food programs, the WTO. If you're not counting your own money, keeping the books, you are definitely going to get took. So again, often power centers external to the LDC keep the books and the balances of the ins and the outs, making the transactions of the government's business monopoly possible by offering loans, providing aid, issuing letters of credit, collecting huge fees for their role in each transaction, and collecting the interest on the entire package. Now I've just introduced the banks into the picture. Look at the Paris Club, something called the Paris Club. Look at the private creditors of Africa and how they sit down and work out payment plans. In many least developed countries, the total amount of interest paid to this external international financing structure, made up of other governments, multilateral institutions, and private concerns, often amounts to more than half of the total value of export revenues. So the interest you're paying on the financing of the business monopoly is as much as half of what you export. For this reason, annual payments are often only on the interest involved and not on the principal. Here's some more of the discussion about Gabon on France Television.
agree that neocolonialism and that imperialism and injustice are cultures. And I don't believe that the French people themselves are people who would condone that kind of behavior. Yet somewhere they must see that a great part of their standard of living comes off of the pillage of countries like Gabon, and so they don't raise their voices when this happens. It's a real contradiction for me.
Mr. Oforiatta, this probably has a parallel with France's relation to the Ivory Coast, which I believe you know something about as well.
Well, yes, just a little bit. With Hofe Boigny, Hofe Boigny decided to be part of France, even when other African countries were demanding independence. He absolutely had to stay with France, and he did until his death. You know, just like Bongo, he decided not to have any dauphin, you know, any strong dauphin.
He didn't want to name a successor.
And at the end of his reign, that is when he died, he left the country in a mess. Which people are thinking, some people are thinking that the same thing is going to happen in Gabon.
I don't think so. He may not have named a dauphin, but he did set up a system which functions and has reserves and will continue to function. And I don't think we're going to see an Ivorian decay in Gabon in the immediate future.
Frankly, I think he learns from that, because in 1999, he nominated his son as head of, as chief of security.
Ali Bongo.
Yes, and when he came, and when he became the chief of security, what did he do? He eliminated, or he sent the big generals to on retirement, all right, and replaced them with his own men.
Now remember what I said about the ins and the outs. Of course, a powerful leader is going to look for his family members to take over. He doesn't want the outs coming in with a coup d'etat. So why is it amazing that Omar Bongo would bring his children further in? This is No I, Nada Mas, Mos Def. Lo mejor, male, más guerra y vida, amor y cambia comida, la guarda, pistola, oración, para ellos, damas y caballeros, familia, crianza, la luz en la distancia, querido Dios, viene más cercana, mi vista, mi casa, mis sueños, mi alma, quiero saberlo, sentí tu abrazo, y tu contacto, muéstrame algo. You could put any country in what I just read, Libya, with the transitions that Muammar Gaddafi is trying to make, trying to find a way to give the money that is being wasted by government officials to the people. Chavez in Venezuela, Raul Castro in Cuba. Story is the same. How do we get out of the colonial economy that we inherited and made the mistake of over-advertising our ability to undermine or unwind? This is why regional integration is one of the best things that could have happened to the anti-colonial movement. Through unity and scale on a regional level, you do have the power to overcome some of this legacy. This is Pistola, Mos Def. I never meant to break your heart. May God pick up the pieces. The dream to fall apart. Forgive me and forget me. Make a brand new start. Don't breathe your eyes. Say goodbye. I know.
Ending wackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com. Click, use them up. Bad intentions and a very good shot. X marks the spot where you cross the heart. Candlelight vigil on my memory block. Commemorate the date where the bomb got dropped. Love, study, war, no more. Put your weapon away.
Okay, I got some more top five basketball all-time great picks. Nick from D.C., she says her five all-time greats are Dr. J, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, and Charles Barkley. Larry Bird, you all are some honest black folk. Star from Starbuck Wild says that Larry Bird is the greatest player of all time. I may have to send that out as show prep. More of you all acknowledging Larry Bird. Surprising. Rod from Calvert City, California has a second team all time. Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson, Dr. J, Tim Duncan, and the Hick from French Lick. Larry Bird. Rod Gagnon has a third team, all-time greats. Bill Russell, Elgin Baylor, Earl the Pearl Monroe, Carl Malone. I think that's Carl Malone. He has Carl. And Jerry West, the Purist Shooters. Fallback Dick Barnett, World Be Free, and Ray Allen. Oh, he said World Be Free and Ray Allen. I gotta think of my own list. Top five basketball players of all time. Kobe is not on the list. Now let me speak about this fight, man. It's travesty. But the fix was in. Let me prove it to you all. Anybody out there really think that Miguel Cotto won? Now, Joshua Clady deserved to lose, but he didn't lose. But he deserved to lose because of his lack of aggressiveness. Now, Joshua Clady is an unsung fighter from Ghana. Unsung fighter from Ghana. Now, I counted it. 6 minutes it took. 6 minutes. It took 6 minutes to get this decision announced. I'm going to let the audio go to verify this. Why did it take so long to get the decision? The fight went for Claudie. This is Cedric Muhammad speaking. The fight went for Claudie. And the judge, one of the judges had to be talked to by Bob Arum. This is my little alleged synthesis theory. I'm putting some things together. The decision, I believe, went to Joshua Clady, but because Bob Arum promotes Manny Pacquiao and Miguel Cotto, and that's the fight for November, they're saying, Cotto had to win.
The seemingly knocked down proof Ghanaian fighter. Third round, accidental headbutt, opening a huge cut over the left eye of Miguel Cotto, a cut which would affect his vision and his ability to stop Claudie's right hand for the rest of the fight. Round five, in a corner, Claudie finds himself up on Cotto's shoulder, and as Cotto shreds him, Claudie falls to the canvas in an awkward position and twists his left knee. For the next two rounds, there was a question as to whether Claudie could continue. But they made it to the 12th round, where Cotto turned to throw a left...
Now they're wasting time. The decision has not been announced. Everything that you're listening to, by now you should have heard the decision. This is when I believe Bob Arum spoke to the judges. Kevin from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, he says, very interesting, Brother Cedric. What would be a solution for Hugo Chavez and Muammar Gaddafi? The solution is unite. And as a matter of fact, there is an upcoming meeting. The African Union, and I forget, it's a group of eight countries at least, Hugo Chavez included, but Jean Ping, the head of the African Union Commission, just met with Hugo Chavez, announcing a meeting, a very warm meeting. By the way, the African Union summit is coming up in Libya in about 10 days.
Don Trell of Connecticut, seven title fights, notable fight, Cotto over Malibu.
Family, I'm trying to explain to some. They still have not announced the decision. 4 minutes we've been waiting.
Harold, your final score. You know, Chip, I thought Miguel Cotto won it.
No, Miguel Cotto did not win. Glenn from Philly, he says, Peace said, I've been sitting here going through guilty basketball convulsions. Guilty basketball convulsions. I'm debating removing the 11 championships of Bill Russell and replacing him with the all-time scoring leader, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I just don't see how I can leave Kareem off. Yes. How many rings does Kareem have? Kareem has to be on your list for longevity and for points. They still have not announced the decision for this fight.
On a headbutt that may or may not have been intentional. Lost to Antonio Margarito in a fight in which he was leading early and then faded when he says both of his hands...
By now, Bob Arum has gotten to the judge, allegedly, and has gotten them to change their scorecard, going on 5 minutes.
because from the point of view of someone watching the fight and not scoring it round by round, and maybe from the point of view of many who did score round by round, Clotty appeared the winner.
And it seems to be taking an unusually long period of time for the scores to be tabulated.
Still no decision. They're killing time. The HBO announcers don't even know what to do to kill more time. 6 minutes in between the end of the fight and the announcement of a decision.
But he came back to win the last round on all of those conditions, which is amazing. The first round and the last round.
And now Michael Buffer is ready to end the suspense and tell us if there's a winner in the fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, here at Madison Square Garden, we go to the scorecards. Dontrella scores the fight 116-111 for Cotto. John McKay scores the bout. Pardon me, Tom Miller scores the bout 114-113 for Clotty. John McKay has it 115-112 to the winner by split decision from Caguas, Puerto Rico.
Now, Eleazar from Brooklyn, he says, we all know why Cotto won. Eleazar says, we all know why Cotto won. There were a million Puerto Ricans at Madison Square Garden, and the white folks wanted to avoid trouble. Just kidding, but I was there. Eleazar was there. The brother from Ghana got robbed, but big money on this Miguel Cotto fight. Clotty deserved to lose because he did not keep up the aggression to the last two rounds. Too much money, though, on Miguel Cotto, Manny Pacquiao.
Beginning of the night, Emmanuel, because I personally was skeptical as to whether Clotty could win a decision here. I don't think you can call this in any way a questionable decision because either man could have won the fight.
Oh, stop it.
I would say it was a questionable
decision. Stop it.
I
mean, but, now let's hear. Let's hear from my brother from Ghana.
Ecstatic.
Miguel Cotto. Pardon me, Joshua Clotty. Most Def, hot album. Joshua Clotty, come on.
Now we turn to the hardest luck man in the welterweight division, Joshua Clotty. Joshua, I know you came in here feeling as though you've never really been beaten or dominated, and those two losses were both the product of bad fortune. I'm sure you're going to say that that was the case once again tonight.
You know, I don't expect this decision. I don't expect that. You know, I fought my heart out. I know I'm winning. I'm the hardest guy. I'm chasing him. He's running. And I'm blocking the punches. I'm throwing punches. So what does a guy have to do to win the fight?
So in other words, you're sure you won?
Yeah, I won the fight. You know, as soon as the decision was kept long, I know that something's going to happen. I want a rematch.
Interestingly to me, Joshua, you had an enormous advantage because of the cut over his eye, and it appeared to us that he couldn't see your right hand coming. But you didn't throw many punches in the 11th and 12th. Why not?
Yeah, because, you know, not like I don't throw punches. You know, Cotto is a tough fighter. He's an experienced fighter. I have to take my time. You know, he's throwing one shot at a time. So I have to be careful when I'm coming in. So not like I'm not throwing punches. But I know whatever he's throwing to me, I'm blocking. And everything that he's throwing...
Enough. Joshua Clotty, brother, you won. Let me read the post of the day. Mark from D.C., he says, said brothers and sisters must understand that a colonial economy was often the purest form of a free market economy, but not in the sense that we think of a market economy today. In colonial times, not only was it externally imposed, but the type of free market created was one based on super exploitation of resources, land, labor, and minerals, and backed by the monopoly use of violence. A type of exploitation based on investing the least amount it can, no need for schools or healthcare, etc., in the society to maximize profit. In the Congo, once known as the Congo Free State by Belgium, the free market was so pure, it did not even permit enough resources to reproduce life, the workers itself, and hence 10 million people died. This history is why your analysis of the economic model after independence is valuable, because in some ways the same economic structures, export-led growth, exist today, just in new forms. The violence of the colonial lash has been replaced by the violence of market forces, where they have the freedom to be impoverished, famine, etc., often as the result of structural adjustment programs, aka the tough measures imposed by folks like the IMF. In today's current crisis, tough measures are now the result of shock and awe of what has happened to export markets, which former colonial countries still depend on. Like you said, nothing really changed after independence.
So what does the guy have to do to win the fight?
So in other words, you're sure you won?
Yeah, I won the fight. You know, as soon as the decision was kept long, I know that something's going to happen. I want a rematch. So what does the guy have to do to win the fight?
So in other words, you're sure you won?
Yeah, I won the fight. You know, as soon as the decision was kept long, I know that something's going to happen. I want a rematch.
Brother, I'm with you. As soon as that decision was kept long, I too knew something was going to happen.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.